for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, February the 21st, 2009. Carla Batod is the speaker of the service, teaching on A Marriage Resurrected, Part 2.
And this will be the second part of what I started. Was it just last night?
Yeah.
Seems like we've been here a week already, doesn't it?
No.
It goes by really fast, and you get so much, it seems like way more time than it really is. That must be a kingdom thing. We're having an expansion. Well, if you weren't here last night, I started talking about A Marriage Resurrected. All right, I think that's what we named it. And this is the second part. And there's, you know, just too much of it to do in one session. So yesterday I left off where I think it was right here on this page. But I was talking about how the kind of behavior that will touch your man and from the things of the Word of God. And we talked about 1 Peter, where your husband, who isn't even a believer, can be won without the Word by your chaste behavior, a meek and quiet spirit, which is of great price to God. And I was none of those things at that time. And so, there's a scripture in Acts 1, verse 8, that says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Let me look it up. I didn't write it all down. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, one of the things that God had to show me was that I was to be a witness. So many times we get saved and we want to become the powerful force of God wherever we go, and we go about and we're using the Bible. Like she said, she had to bury her Bible. You know, a new Christian is a dangerous thing because we go about and we're going to save the world, and we go about and we're saying a lot of things, but we're not really living what we're saying. That's a big problem. And I thought it was interesting that Jesus said to them that you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. Now, that's where all these people were from. You know, they were in Jerusalem. This is Jesus had told them after to go and wait until power from on high, until they receive the power from on high. And these were people that were mostly from Jerusalem and Judea. This was kind of like their home place. And that's where it's got to begin. When I got saved, my zeal, not when I got saved, but when I was healed of depression, that zeal returned. And the first thing I wanted to do was to get into a church and begin to serve God. Because during that time of depression, I had shut down. I had quit going to church. I had quit praying. I had quit doing all of those things. So I asked God to lead us to a church where I could be fed, where Mike could be led, and the children could grow up in a church family. So God put us in a church. That's another testimony, but I'm not going to say that one today. So I knew without a doubt that this is where God put us. So every Sunday, we were in church. Shortly after that, I began to teach a Sunday school class. I was a deaconess, and if this committee needed something or if they needed volunteers, I mean, I was out there doing it all. And then God began to kind of take me out of everything. All of a sudden, he said, I want you to stop doing that. So I stopped doing that. And the next thing I knew, he said, I want you to stop doing that. Well, I had to stop doing that. Before long, he had taken me out of everything. Now, this was the first year that all my children were in school, and I was, like, utterly confused. Lord, I have more time to serve you than I've ever had before, and here I am sitting here doing nothing. Have you ever realized that we think that we always have to be doing something? Just the other day I was thinking, he says, be still, and know that I am God. We're so busy that we're expecting him to speak to us out of the earthquake, out of the storm, but you know, we need to be still sometime. So here I was doing nothing. So I was sitting on my porch, and I had my Bible, and I was drinking coffee and just spending time with the Lord and talking to him about this. You know, I just don't get this, Lord. I just don't get this. But since I'm not doing anything, I'm just going to use this time to draw closer to you, to know you better, and I want you to teach me how to really love my husband and children. And I said, what did I hear? I mean, I said this out of my own mouth with no intellectual thought to pray that. So see, here's God's getting close already. I mean, he's invading my space because I said, teach me how to love my husband and children. Well, I know how to love my husband and children. I mean, I was devoted to these people. I mean, I cooked their food. I washed their clothes. You know, this is after I was healed and was doing the things that a wife should do. And he said, that's just mechanics. Anybody can do that. Okay, well then, well, what is love anyway? What is love? And immediately I thought of the love chapter that we call it in the Bible, and that's 1 Corinthians 13. So I opened my Bible, and I'm going to learn about love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding bronze or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. That really hit home. Then I read the very first thing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Man, I didn't have to go any farther than that. It was like a chainsaw just cut me at the knees, and I went, kunk. And then I began to see a motion picture, and God was showing me myself at the church, teaching Sunday school, much patience, working in an after-school program for children, and patient and loving, and oh, just all this. And then we would get in the car to go home, and my kids were tired. They were up past their bedtime, and they're cranky, and they're crying. And I'm turning around in the back seat and saying, shut up. Just shut up. We're going home. Just shut up, you know. And I am just, and God is showing me all of this. And I was just, I mean, I was cut. Suffereth long and is kind. Man, if anything made me suffer, immediately I was wicked. Thank you, Tammy. And the Lord said, Carla, I am pleased that you want to serve me, but you have to get it right in your home first. So, you see, living with a life with the Lord is very challenging. So now, the real work began. This is why my household was not being saved, because there was no love with it. I wanted to go witness, but this actually says that when that power comes, you will be a witness. You just will be a witness. You don't have to open your mouth. They see it. They know it. Your behavior. You know, and God changed a lot of things in me. I mean, I've always been a mouth. My brother called me Mouth when I was younger. That was my nickname, Mouth. And I got to where I hated it. But God said, you know what? I created that mouthiness in you, and I'm going to put it to use. And He has. But, you know, anything that is out of balance and not in control is dangerous. You know, like a wildfire. If you don't have that thing contained, it can burn your house down. And so I had to really, where the rubber meets the road, that's where I had to get. I was gone doing church stuff more than I was home. That can cause a husband to resent church, God, everything. They become very resentful of that. You know why? Because they know that you're neglecting them, your home, whatever. Even if you kept your house nice and everything, when you're gone more than your home, they don't like that. So He took me out of everything. And it has to start in Jerusalem. Then it can go, and then into all the world. But we have to get it right in our home first. In Genesis, I want to tell you why the first attack on the relationship between a man and a woman was in the garden. Because Satan knew that if a man and woman, especially husband and wife, come into unity, there is tremendous power there. So the first thing he wants to do is divide and conquer. Now, I want to just touch on a little bit of something that God showed me last year. Actually, it was just a title, you know, just dropped on me one day. Adam anger slash, God even said slash. Adam anger slash Eve anger. And I thought, that's interesting. Never even heard of that. So I began to ask God to show me what He was talking about. And in Genesis, where after they fell and God went looking for Adam and Eve, and he found them, of course. And the first thing that Adam did in chapter 3, verse, I'm just going to start at 12 because we all know what happened. Eve was tempted. And Adam was right there with her. Adam was right there with her when the serpent was tempting her. And she ate of it. So God's looking for them, and they're hiding. And He says, why are you hiding? Well, because now they're naked. And God asked him in verse 11, hast thou eaten of the tree which I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman who thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Now, that caused a big problem with us women. And it came into Eve. Eve is standing there thinking, what? Excuse me? The woman? Because Adam was trying to blame Eve. Not only did he blame Eve, he blamed God. The woman that you gave me. She's the one, not me. Eve became very offended at that moment at Adam. She got very upset with Adam. And at that moment, there is an anger toward Adam that came into all of us, men and women alike. Men are hacked off at Adam for what he did. Of course, they're hacked off at Eve. They always say, oh, it's the woman that was deceived. You know, well, Adam just out and out rebelled. But that's not, we're doing it to this day, blaming one another. But this is where it came in, and it caused a problem. And I think that it's even affecting our marriages today. Because when Adam did that, it caused women to be angry at the man. Just any man. All men. Man. Adam and all men. We're mad at them because they point the finger at us. And Adam, on the other hand, is mad at Eve because he thinks it's her fault. So that's where it came in. Adam anger and Eve anger. And many of us have this going on in our homes and we don't even know why. Where did that come from? I was asking God, what is this? We are husband and wife and over the silliest little things we're acting like a brother and a sister. You know, don't touch me. Just, you know, all this ridiculous stuff that goes on in marriages. And this is where it started, in the Garden of Eden. We are mad at that man for blaming us for what he did. Right? I didn't realize that I was angry at Eve until I was pregnant with my first baby. Man, I wanted babies. That's all I ever wanted was to have babies. But when I was pregnant, I could feel that little baby moving around. I mean, oh, I couldn't wait to hold it, but it's got to come out first. And I didn't like how it had to come out. I'd seen TV movies with women hanging onto the headboard screaming, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if I ever want to have a baby. Man, if it hurts that bad. But then you see them in the grocery store, you know, pushing around a little 8-month-old, and they're out to here pregnant. You think, well, it can't be that bad. But I didn't want that. And one day I was sitting in my recliner. I had laid back, and that little baby's just rolling around. Every time I got still, he would roll. And it was that way after he was born. Every time I needed to lay down, he was at it. But I said to God, you know what? Lord, when I get to heaven, I am going to punch Eve in the nose. Because it's her fault that I have to suffer this pain. Isn't that what God said? The curse came on the woman. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. That means, I guess that means, even after you suffer that pain, you're still going to want the man. And he shall rule over thee. See, that's the thing that has the rule over us. It's not so much that he's ruling over us. He's just ruling over us. And God very sweetly said, oh, really? What would you have done if you had been in Eve's shoes? And I was like, forgive me, Lord. I'd have eaten it. I would have eaten it just like Eve did. So, Lord, forgive me for judging her. But what am I supposed to do with this pain? I don't want to have this pain. Why do I have to have this pain? And then a scripture, that he became a curse for us. This was the curse on the woman, but he became a curse for us. In my infancy, my idiocy infancy, I'd only been a Christian for a year, but man, I've been reading his Bible. And if he became a curse for me, and I've received him as my Savior, then what he did on the cross cancels that curse off me. That has been canceled, ladies. And not just that. I'm talking PMS. All these women's complaints that we have that we think we have to live with. God began to show me, no, you don't either. He canceled that. Now, you've got a choice. You can either suffer it or you can put it under the blood. I had 3 babies with no pain. Later, I started applying that to my PMS crazy days. Does anybody here suffer from PMS? Does it just not wear you out? You get tired of being angry and griping and screaming at everybody. So, I began to learn to take dominion over my body. Paul says that he put his body under subjection. We can do the same thing. It's time for us to be putting our bodies under subjection. All these things that drive us crazy with women's problems and even physical problems. You can do the same thing with physical problems. You have to stop that thing and say, wait just a minute. When Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross, He canceled that. He suffered everything. It says He took every sickness and every disease. That means I don't have to have it. Now get, in the name of Jesus. That's what we have to do, start taking dominion and putting our bodies under subjection. Now I want to read something about Adam. At the same time he spoke the curse over the woman, this is what he said to the man. Now, I want you to understand that when God created Adam, He created Adam after His image, in His image, and after His likeness. God is all complete, is He not? He's neither man nor woman. We refer to Him as Father, but He is totally whole. Adam was created, made by God the same way. He was man and woman. He took the woman out of the man. And I want you to know that that's why we are so different. When He took that rib out of Adam, He took everything that was female. All of these, the emotional, the intuitive, the feminine, all these things He took out of Adam and made Eve with it. And we don't understand why they don't understand us. They're never going to understand us. They're different. They think different. Their minds work differently. We are a woman, and they are man. So, just as she quoted the man, get over it. Quit getting mad at your man because he doesn't understand. Men do not know how to read between the lines. When you say, oh, I just love roses, he's not going to pick up on that he should send you roses. Forget it. They don't work like that. Now, there are rare occasions. My daddy was raised by women. My daddy had that. He was a familiar spirit of a woman. But he knew what women liked. I don't know how, because he lived with women. He was raised by women. His grandmother and his aunt raised him. And he knew women. My daddy knew women. He knew what they liked, and he knew how to, I don't say wine and dine, but he was romantic, and he was constantly giving my mother gifts. And, man, I thought every man was going to be just like my daddy. You know, Mike and I have been married 34 years, and this is not to shame him. I have accepted this. No birthday cards, no birthday present, no Christmas present, no anniversary gift, no anniversary card, no nothing, ever. And coming from a home, you know, and I'm telling you, last year I had it. That was enough. He goes to eat breakfast at this bed and breakfast near our office, and I got through my clothes on, and it was my birthday. I didn't get a card from any of my children. You know, we were talking about this, Jerry. And, you know, you just think, Lord, I must be a terrible mother. I must be just a crummy, you know, because those things, when I love someone, I give. You know, I send cards. I take a day off and make it special for the party. You know, I just am. My dad taught me how to do that, you know. But not everybody's like that. And I went to have breakfast with him last year, and I said, we have been married for 33 years. And I am telling you right now that there better never be another birthday, Valentine's Day, anniversary. You know, I was just pounding it out that I am not remembered in some way by you. I am your wife. You don't forget your mama's birthday. You know, you don't forget your sister's birthday. What is the deal? You know, and I just told somebody lately, this girl who's dating this guy, and she said, I told him that I wanted such and such for Valentine's Day. And he didn't say anything. And I said, don't expect it. If he already told you that he's not a gift buyer, don't expect it. Do not set yourself up for disappointment. I said, you know what I learned after that day that I said all this? What in the world is a card? This man loves me. He is good to me. He is generous with me. I just love him.
He adores me.
I know that. What is a card? I mean, I just finally came to that realization. So it doesn't matter. We can put so much emphasis on things that don't mean a thing. The world has done that. The world has done that. All these movies and, oh my goodness, and vanity, vanity, vanity. It really is. But we're different. And what God showed me in this, and I'm going to take us through that right now. I'm just going to stop and do that. What I want us to do, and I really would like for you to do this when you get home. I want us to ask God right now to forgive us for the anger that we have had subconsciously, but it was born into us toward Eve for the fall of mankind. So just say, Father, I ask you to forgive me for being angry at Eve. For doing something that I would have done myself. Forgive me. I think this has caused problems between mothers and daughters, sisters, people in church, your relationships in church. There is an anger that we have that we don't even understand toward women because we're mad at Eve. Now I want you to say, Lord, forgive me for taking out my anger that I have toward Adam on my husband. Forgive me. Now when you go home, say, honey, I need to ask you to forgive me for taking out my anger at Adam on you. Will you forgive me? I'm going to tell you, this will break something in the spirit realm. Because it's alive and well. You should have took a nap, huh, Brenda? I'm telling you, it will break something in the spirit realm. And then you can say, "Will I'm asking you to forgive me for what Eve did in the garden. Would you forgive me for what Eve did?" There's something there. God wouldn't have given it to me if there wasn't. And this is what he said to the man. And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife," and right there something went into Adam. I am never listening to another word she says. And it's in every one of our men. Every one of our men. That's why we say, he won't listen to me. He doesn't hear a word I say. He doesn't. This is where it happened, ladies. God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. And he said, never again will I listen to a word she has to say. Because see, it's her fault. In his mind, it's her fault. God's almost even saying it to him. There's a little deception there. So he doesn't hear us. We talk and talk and talk and talk. They don't hear a word we say. Because it came into Adam. It was a curse that came into Adam and it was born into every person that came along after that. Isn't that interesting? Doesn't that make sense? So you just say, honey, I need to ask you to forgive me for what Eve did. Right? Well, he's not going to. Eve? Sure. Okay. But we'll be in agreement, see? Satan does not want unity in the marriage. Period. If he can destroy it, listen, it's a picture of the church. So then the women go to church and the men go to church. The men sit over here and talk about the women, and the women sit over here and talk about the men. It's alive and well in the church. So he's going to divide and conquer. If he can keep us bickering, there will never be anything accomplished. So that, I'm just going to touch on that. Now, let me say this. In the marriage, you know, I told y'all that I was like a chronic PMS on steroids. That was, you know, that superwoman hero that dressed up in that red, white, and blue superhero. I don't remember what her name was. Wonder Woman had nothing on me. But there was a strong spirit of Jezebel. Now, I don't have time to go into all that because we're talking about marriage. But I did a teaching here, and the name of it is Ruler Spirits of Jezebel and Ahab. It's really mostly about Jezebel. And it's a marriage killer and a man killer. So if you're interested in getting that, I'm not making a dime off of this. It belongs to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, so I'm not pushing my product. But if you have a problem with that, you need to hear it. You need to hear the teaching, and you need to go through the deliverance at the end. There's also a teaching on the bastard spirit that caused me, that really was the root of why I ended up in depression, was the bastard spirit. So if you don't know about the bastard spirit, get that one too and listen to it. And another spirit that was really destructive in my life was the abortion spirit. And if you've never heard anything about that, there's a book. Do we, y'all have the book? There's a book back there called Ministering to the Aftermath of Abortion or something like that. And I also did a two-part teaching on that. And I think that it will address a lot of problems that are happening in marriages, in women. In women. We're not going to deal with the men's problems because, well, we'll let, they need to have a men's conference, don't they? I knew that I was going to say that, but I knew it would come from the audience. Well, they do need to hear some of this stuff. They really do. God, don't have a clue about a lot of this stuff. Okay. So, the Adam anger and the Eve anger. Okay. Back to 1 Corinthians 13. That was just a little detour because there's something there with that Adam anger and Eve anger thing. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these because y'all know them. But I want you to, just sometimes when you have some time at home, get in this chapter. And I did a word study that day on all of these words. And I just found out there was no love. No love. The thing that healed me of depression was the love of God. And I loved God, but I wasn't loving my husband and children. And that's important. Love suffereth long and is kind. Nope. I'm not suffering any time, and I'm sure not kind when I suffer. It envieth not. Yes, I envied everybody. Love vaunts not itself. Got to look that up. Is not puffed up. Oh my gosh. Let me tell you how big a religious spirit I had. When I'd go to those CFO meetings in Palestine, wonderful teachers there. We had just some wonderful men of God that came. But if a woman came, after we sang and stuff, I would pick up my stuff and leave. Because women are not supposed to teach. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? Oh, it's embarrassing. I had a terrible religious spirit. It stinketh. Does not behave itself unseemly. I could throw a bigger temper tantrum than my kids. Seeks not its own. Selfishness. I was very selfish. That's why I had no patience, because if everything didn't go just my way, it was not pretty. Is not easily provoked. My brother used to agitate me. I went to a psychiatrist before I was healed of depression. I thought the psychiatrist could help me. So I went to the psychiatrist, and he says, "Why are you here?" I said, "I have a 3-year-old that stirs up in me the same rage that my brother stirred up in me. I could never catch my brother, but I can catch this 3-year-old. And I'm really afraid I'm going to hurt him." That was really my fear. Because when my brother would agitate me, I would just have to grab a lamp or something. I did. My mama used to have a case of Coke bottles. She bought those Cokes in the little bottles years ago. And she'd buy them by the case, and more than one case. So they're sitting there by the back door. And I was chasing him, and he went out the back door, and the garage door was shut. So he was kind of behind, had his back to the garage door, and I was picking those bottles up and throwing them as fast as I could, and they were busting. I'm telling you, there was a rage. There was a spirit of murder and anger, and that comes from the abortion spirit. So if you have a problem with that, it can come, you know, the anger is a spirit all by itself. And it ran in our family line. So see, it came right on down. So I had it bad. And if, you know, wherever I stopped and knew I wasn't going to be able to catch him, I had to vent my anger on something. I grabbed one of my mama's brand new lamps. She got new furniture, and I tore that lamp. You couldn't even recognize it as a lamp when I got through with it. And then we looked at each other and laughed. I mean, it was nutty. It was nutty. Thinketh no evil. Ooh, I would lay in bed and plan my next attack. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away with. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So we need to have the love issue dealt with. And what God was showing me was I was wanting to do all those things, but the motive was not correct. So that was something that I had to look at. And it was painful. And it took a little while to get it right. I wasn't allowed to do anything in the church for quite a while until I got it right in my home. And you die. You just die. All over again. In every area that God shows you, you just have to die. He wants to be Lord over your home. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22, we read a little bit of this, or we talked about it in a different area. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And that's what is meant. You submit yourself as you would unto the Lord. Now, the Lord's not going to ask you to do something that is unlawful or immoral. So, you don't do those things. That's when you have to say, you know what, I really need to talk to you about this. Because I used to think that to be a submissive wife, when I was trying to be a submissive wife, that I had to do everything that he said. And, you know, he wasn't saved, and so he would want to go to parties that friends of ours that were doing unlawful things. Of course, I made sure, I even made him promise. You promise me that if marijuana ever comes out, that you will take me away from that place. Because my daddy had told me, you know, marijuana is illegal, And if you are even there and you're not doing it, if they come, you all go to jail. Well, I didn't want to go to jail. I didn't want to be around the stuff. I was scared of stuff. I didn't touch things like that. Okay? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. See, he always compares the marriage to the church. He has an order. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He's the husband. We're the wife. Christ is the husband of the church. The church body is the wife. That order. See, our house was out of order because I was a Jezebel and Mike was an Ahab. Well, somebody had to do the leading. You know, I don't think I was raised a Jezebel. I don't think that Jezebel spirit was there. But when I got in a marriage and there was no leadership, no head, Jezebel, who was strong in our family, saw an opportunity to take the house. So I became a Jezebel. I didn't realize I was becoming a Jezebel, but slowly, you know, the weight of the responsibility, the decisions, everything. I did everything. I mowed the grass. I paid the bills. I did all of that, which made it very comfortable for him. You know, he's going to baseball tournaments. And I mean, it was still like, I'm his mother. I was like, you know, that's not sexy. You know, that resentment started building. You know, I would get angry at him for not being the head of the house. And one day in the kitchen, I said, Lord, when will he ever become the head and the priest of this house? And God just very quietly said, when you stop. And I was like, what? That's right. How is he going to be the head if you're in his place? Oh, okay. Well, okay. How do we get out of that place? I mean, this has been a long haul, but very well worth it. But see, I want to tell y'all about these things, especially for younger women, because my greatest desire after all of these things was, Lord, if I can shorten the path for anybody with the junk that I have suffered, please let it be. And one day I went to this service and this man prophesied and he said, you know what? You're going to provide a shortcut for a lot of women. And I just was so excited by that. Because why should it be that? That's why we should teach our... You know, every generation since Jesus was on this earth should have gotten better and better and better. But it hasn't because we've not taught. We've not been taught, really, a lot of these things that we need to be taught. So if you're the head of your house, uh-oh, it's time to let the men take their place. And you know what? When I was going to church, and it's this way just about, now there are some churches that a lot of couples, they're beginning to be man and wife and children. But back in the years when I first got into church, it was a bunch of women. Where are the men? Where are the men? But slowly over time, and it's happened in the world too. You know, you'll watch an old movie and they'll go into a bank and all the tellers are men. You know, there's no women in there. Well, they were all at home with the kids. But it was, the business world was for men. But we slowly, thank the women's livers, we're finally getting to be men. What are we doing? What are we thinking? You know, I don't like putting gasoline in my car. I liked it when the men used to run out and fill up your air and wipe your windshield and put gas in your car. I cannot stand putting gas in my car. Usually Mike does it for me, but when I'm on the road, I have to do it. I feel mistreated. He opens my door. You know, this has been one of the... When God began to step by step teach me how to be a wife, He has become this man that He's never been before. So when we get in our place, it doesn't happen all of a sudden and all at once. It's a process. But we live in the microwave world. Well, I submitted to Him yesterday and nothing happened. That's not how it's going to happen. It takes a while. But we want everything like that. But when we begin to honor our husbands, respect, be respectful, be kind, become that helpmeet that God created us to be. He did not create us to be His competition. And that's what we've become. And they don't like that. The word says, and I didn't look this one up, but it says that because it's in the husband's department, that we are to be treated as the weaker sex or the weaker vessel. Are we the weaker vessel? No. He says, as. You know, something heavy needs to be picked up. Go pick it up for her. You know, be the He-Man. The man was created with the strength to carry the heavy burdens. The woman was not. That's why we're all breaking down. Our bodies are sick. Our backs hurt. We have shoulder trouble, neck problems. Because we're trying to be the man. We weren't created to carry that burden. He was created to carry that burden. Let Him have it. Let Him have it. He may not want it, but you begin to pray for your husband. You know that scripture I prayed? Lord, open his eyes. Turn him from darkness to light. Now I want to flip over. Well, let me finish this thought first. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he's talking about the husband, is the Savior, little s, of the body, little b. God opened my eyes about that one day. Wow! He is the Savior of the little body. Jesus is the Savior, capital S, of the body, capital B. But our husband is the head of the wife and the home, as he is head of the church. What is he? He's the healer. He's the provider. He's the victor. And that's what our husbands are in our home, but we don't look at him as that. Do we? Have we? We are to treat our husbands just like we would treat Jesus. Boy, do you think that would not pump them up? To have that respect? To have that honor? To have that tone of voice that we would talk to the Lord with. One day I was dumping on my children, and God said, "Be careful how you speak to my children." Man, that was a life changer. You know, we think, "Oh, well, those are my kids." You've heard people say, "Those are my kids, and I'll raise them how I want to." Excuse me. Those children were put in your care. They are His children. And we have a responsibility, first and foremost, to teach them about the Lord. You know, all this stuff that we worry about, education, what schools they go, that is nothing in the kingdom of God. Nothing. The kind of clothes they wear, the kind of car they're going to drive, the jobs they have, la, 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 la. That, none of that matters in the kingdom of God. It's going to be their spiritual character that matters in the kingdom of God. But the world has conformed us to them. That needs to change. We're going to have to really start guarding the spirituality of our children. because Satan wants to wipe it out. So, what should we do if you get sick? If you have pain in your body? Well, the church is where you call on the elders, right? That should be the very first thing we do. Not call the doctor on Monday morning and make an appointment. Go to your pastor. In James, that's what it says, 5:14. Call on the elders of the church. Okay, but what do you do when it's not church time? What do? The husband is the head, as Christ is of the church. So you go to your husband. Honey, I'm having a pain in my back. Would you please pray for me? The first time I did that with Mike, we were going to watch a movie. I love movies. Mike is not a movie person, but he'll watch it with me the first 15 or 20 minutes before he falls asleep. But there's just a comfort, even if he's laying on the couch sleeping, there's just a comfort that he's in the room with me, you know. But I had this, when I get really overtired, I will have this condition in my eye. And we have an optical place, and the doctor comes, and I said, yeah, what do you think about that? He said, oh, we see it all the time. We don't know anything about it. There's no cure for it. Well, good. I'm glad it's not something serious, you know. I know it shows up when I get really tired. So the thing to do is don't get really tired. See to it that you get enough rest. But anyway, it was really bothering me. And I could feel it, like there was a pain back here and the redness in my eye and just kind of a dull, weird feeling in my head. So before I put the movie in, I said, honey, you know that eye thing is really bothering me. Would you lay hands on me and pray for me? This is after I saw the scripture. Would you lay hands on me and pray for me? And he goes, I don't know how to do that. I said, well, just come give me your hands. Just come put your hands on my head, and I'll tell you what to say, and you say it. And next time, you'll know how to do it, right? So he laid hands on me, and I said, in the name of Jesus, and he said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this pain. I command you to take your hands off my wife's body. Okay, because along with this, let me show you something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 4, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Right? Okay, so, you know, if I see it in the Bible, I believe it, and I do it. So the first time I saw this scripture, I told Mike, for my wife has not power over her own body, but I have power over her body, and I command the pain to go and the redness to go in Jesus' name. That's what I told him to say. So he does it. And I mean, within 30 minutes, that pain is gone. There's power there, ladies. Real power. You do the same thing for your husband. And if your children get sick, take them to your husband. Lay hands on him. Rebuke that fever. There's power there. Okay, so Mike prays for me. The pain is gone. He's over here watching the movie. Now, ordinarily, he's asleep in, you know, 15 or 20 minutes. He was awake the whole movie. He watched the whole movie. I couldn't believe it. We go to bed. He picks up a book. And I'm like, this is very unusual. Usually, he is asleep. At 10 o'clock, he turns into a pumpkin. He's usually asleep. And I said, Mike, this is unusual. You're going to read a book? And he said, well, my heart is feeling funny. He said, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to read till I got tired. He said, but it's really... I said, what do you mean your heart is feeling funny? Well, it's beating irregular and I feel kind of jittery. You know? He said, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to sleep. And I thought, well, I don't like that. Because if he doesn't sleep, that means I don't sleep either. So I laid hands on him, and I took power over his body and commanded that heart to slow down and beat like it's supposed to. And yes, you will sleep. I speak a deep sleep on you all night in Jesus' name. Well, he slept all night. Well, he got up, His heart was still acting funny. So he goes to the office, and I was working at the time during the Christmas holidays, a slow season for us, so these people wanted to hire me, so I went to work for them during the Christmas holidays. And he called me at work, and he said, I'm fixing to lock the door to the office, and I'm going to go sit back in the recliner for a little while. I said, Mike, listen, are you feeling fearful? Because if you are, I want you to go to the emergency room. And he said, well, it's a little uncomfortable. I said, are you having any pain? No, it's just, you know, making me jittery, and I feel kind of weak. And so he goes and sits in the chair. Well, my son calls. Hey, I just talked to Dad. What's the matter with Dad? I said, I don't know. He said, when did that start? I said, and it dawned on me. Right after he laid hands on me for the very first time, I thought, you devil, you can forget it. He's pitching a fit because we are exercising the things of God in our marriage, and he did not like it, and he's going to try to stop it, and he's going to try to scare Mike to the point, I'm not laying hands on you. Last time I did that, I almost died. But when I realized that, I called the office, and I said, Mike, I know what's wrong with your heart. I said, put your hand on your heart. So he did, and I prayed. Well, about 15 minutes later, Mike called me. He had unlocked the door. He was feeling better. And as the day went on, he felt better and better till it was gone. Now, you tell me that the spiritual things, when you begin to exercise the power of God that he has given you in your marriage, in your home, as a believer, he's going to do whatever he can to stop it. There is power in the home. The husband has power. They'll like that. You know, I begin to tell Mike, do you realize that you have power that you're not even using? And the first time I used that scripture from 1 Corinthians, Mike was outside. He loves to tinker. And he had bought a welding machine. Is he a welder? No. I guess he always wanted to be. So he bought one, and he would play with it, you know, just fix things. And so he has this lowboy trailer that he goes and gets wood, trees that fall, and cuts it up and stuff. But, you know, it was getting hard for him to drag these big old things up on there. So he was gonna fix something where he could. So I see him out there looking. He's just standing there looking at the trailer. He's just looking at the trailer. And I'm watching him. I'm at the sink doing something. And I looked out there, and I knew he was trying to figure it out. I said, Lord, I speak the mind of Christ into him. I take power over his body right now that he will have ideas. He will have the exact, you show him, put it in his mind exactly what he needs to do to make that thing. I said, and while I'm at it, Lord, I speak to my husband's body. I take power of it right now to hunger and thirst after the things of God. Now, his Bible lays on the coffee table. And, you know, I get up every morning and read. And he'll get up and he'll grab an airplane book or something that he wants to look at. But I really wanted him to read the Word. That was a Friday evening. I said, I speak a hunger and thirst for the Word of God and the things of God into him in Jesus' name. I didn't think too much of it. Didn't feel very powerful. So I got up the next morning. He had gotten up before me, and his Bible was open on the coffee table. And he told me he had gotten up early, and he decided to read the Bible. And, of course, I want to do back flips, you know. But I just walked in there and, oh, okay, I'm going to have some coffee. But, see, we sit around and we say, I wish he would this and that. We talk to our friends. I wish he would this and that. Well, start using the power that you have. Y'all are one. You have power over your own body, or you should anyway. And you're one, so you also have power over him. Now, you've got to be very careful how you use that power, because it'd be very easy to cross over into witchcraft. You need to pray the things from the Word of God over your husband. And then watch. I was thinking Valentine's Day. We were at work, and I was thinking, I would really love, we have this catfish place in Jasper that I love to eat, and I was really thinking, oh, I would really love to go there. I don't like fish, but I'd really love to go there and eat. They have a great salad bar, and I just said, Lord, I would really love to go there for lunch. And a little while later, Mike said, how would you like to go to Catfish Cabin for lunch? It's like, see, that's what I mean. You make your request to God, even concerning your husband, and then just watch. So I encourage you to begin to pray for your husband in that way. I was trying to think if I'd left anything out. I don't think I've left anything out. But it's 4:20, and it's okay if we finish a little early. But I want to pray. Last night I prayed concerning the women and what our hearts, our attitudes, our request to God. But I want to pray in for the husbands. And I know that you will all be in agreement with what I pray, because it's what God wants for our men to be. It's what we want our men to be. And so I'm going to pray, and y'all can just be in agreement. How's that sound? And I want to encourage you that the things that you've heard here today, to encourage you that it will be a process. I just remembered something I need to address in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 7. You know, Paul was saying this in verse 10 of chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. He says, and unto the married I command, not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. See, he made sure that the people knew that that first part was what God said. The second part is something he's going to say. If any brother hath a wife that believe not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman, now I'm going to just go over that part about the brother, because we're the women. We're not the brothers. I'm not talking to the brothers. And the woman who hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her. Did y'all hear that? If he be pleased to dwell with her. These are conditions. I'm like Marietta. I didn't believe in divorce either. Both of my brothers were divorced. I didn't want to get a divorce. I wanted this to work, just didn't know how to make it work. So I asked God, and he mended the marriage. He resurrected the marriage because it was dead. I don't like to say he restored our marriage, because it's better than what it was. It wasn't the thing that was didn't get restored. He made it new. He resurrected a dead thing and put life where there was no life. The former did not look like the latter. He made it new. And I want you to know that he can do the same thing for your marriage if that's what you need. But it took a while. You know, it just continually got better and better and better. And does that mean we still don't have problems sometimes? No. But this right here about being pleased to dwell with her, I would not, I'm going to speak to you the way I would speak to my daughter. I would not want her to stay in a relationship if she's being abused, if she's being mistreated mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually, any of those things. Would I say, you need to divorce him? No. But I would say, until he can treat you like a husband treats a wife, you come stay with us, or go stay, you know, wherever, if she has the money to live in an apartment, whatever. I don't want anybody to think that God would have you in a place where you're being beaten, physically hurt, emotionally abused, because you know what that indicates? He's not pleased to live with you. He's not pleased to live with you if he's treating you that way. And God is not asking any woman to be abused and be okay with that. That is not submission. That is mistreatment. That is cruelty. And God doesn't want any of us to be treated that way. So don't misunderstand me. If you're being physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually abused, where there is no love, but mistreatment, talking down to you, beating you up, causing you to feel like dirt, and those kind of things. Paul said, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. But that's if you have a husband that's not saved, but he still treats you with love, the only kind of love he understands. But God is able to make something that is dead alive. He is able, if you get in your place and allow God to deal with him, you stop trying to change him. You go to God with that, and you begin to speak your desires over your husband, and then watch God do it. It works. Sometimes it works very quickly, but never lose hope. And begin to teach your daughters, your granddaughters, young women of your friends. They need to be taught these things so that they don't have to live in a less than fulfilling a marriage where fruit can come out of it. It's just amazing. Men that are drawn to go in and just visit with Mike. They don't even need glasses. They just go in and visit. You know, they see us interact in the office and they say, y'all must be a second marriage. I don't know any husband and wife that can work together and get along. Well, that's kind of true, you know? But God makes the difference. Now let's pray for our men. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up every home that is represented here today by the women that are here. I lift up every home. God, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit and your ministering angels now to that home. Even before that woman gets back to her home, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit and ministering angels and change the atmosphere in that house. Change the atmosphere. Lord, we invite you to come into the home, to be there all the time, to watch and listen and instruct. Let us be very aware of your presence in our house, in our homes, in our relationships. I remember when I first started doing this, I had a place where Jesus, he sat at the table. He had a place in the living room. You know, it's the way I had to be aware that he is right there with us. Lord, I just ask you to go and inhabit the homes. Lord, so that marriages can be established. Not what we have created, Lord, but what you have created. Lord, I ask that you would release unity upon the marriages in the homes. I ask, Lord, that you would begin to teach the husband and the wife how to become one the way you intended it. I speak peace into every household. Lord, I send the warring angels out to drive out all strife and contention, rudeness, anger, resentments. Lord, I ask you to heal the minds and the memories, because when we want to start doing something different, there's all that stuff staring at us from the past. I just ask you, Lord, to give us a clean slate, to cleanse our memories, Lord, of the old fights and the old hurts and the wounds. I speak to the husbands. I activate, Lord, if they know you, I activate the mind of Christ and the nature of Christ, that they could treat their wives the way you love the church. And that we, Lord, would respond the way we should. It's going to be uncomfortable at first, but, oh Lord, the benefits far outweigh the discomfort. I just ask you to bless every home. Lord, pour out your love into the households. Lord, let the men remember what it was. Lord, I ask you to go right now to every husband and stir up the memories of what attracted them to their wife. Lord, I'm asking that you would stir up the memories of what it was that attracted us to our men. Maybe things that we liked in the beginning and then we killed later. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for being disrespectful to our men. Forgive us, Lord, for lashing out in anger because we're hurt. Lord, I ask you to begin to hone our communication skills that we can communicate with each other without the anger and the resentment. Father, from this day forth, let it be different. Because when you are invited in, you're going to make some changes. You're going to knock down some walls. You're going to put some windows where it's been dark. You're going to dust out the corners. And Father, I just ask that you would cleanse our homes. Cleanse our homes. If there's anything in our homes that is not bringing you glory, and that would get in the way of a peaceful home, I ask you to show us those things, Lord, to get out of our houses. Lord, I ask that I just speak right now. I activate power and dominion that you have given us to take authority over things in our home. Lord, let us begin to anoint and pray over our homes. Begin to release and use prophetic. Speak prophetically into our homes, prophetically over our husbands, prophetically over our children, prophetically over ourselves. And Lord, you are the greatest teacher. Teach us, Lord, other things that we need to know. And we just give you all the praise. Lord, I thank you that there are going to be testimonies pouring out for the things that began to happen right now. And we give you thanks. Lord, we thank you because you have heard our prayer. Lord, we know that these things that we have prayed are the very things that you desire for us. So we have confidence that you have heard us and that you will work with us in those things that we have invited you into. And I thank you for them now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just ask you to bless the women. Bless all of us. Bless me. Bless everyone who is sitting here. Bless all those that have listened over the internet. Bless the word that is going forth this weekend on the CDs, Lord, that when people listen to it, their lives will be changed forever. I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Lord, I ask that you, if there is anybody here that has never experienced a father's blessing from their natural father, I ask that you come and do it now, Lord. You give your daughters a father's blessing that they might receive your love, that they might receive your love so that they can freely give it. Set our homes in order. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.